be done, Mr. Co-Chair. We thought it was time to get together to talk about some issues that have come out on the sunset and more or less bring everybody up to date on where we were. Hugh's staff and Paul, what's Paul? Quinnell. And Marva Waring on my staff have worked together with a great deal with Senator Hackney's staff, Paul Conger, trying to keep this whole thing coordinated so we'd all be together on it. And I think it would be helpful if we had Marva Waring come up and perhaps respond to any questions about where we are on Sunset right now and some of the specifics. I understand that a number of the changes included in your attachment A in the folder are very close to being ready by legal. Is that right, Marva?
Paul Conger on
regarding the bills on the Caucus Act revisions, they're working on those now, Legislative Affairs, and I hope to have those completed towards the end of this week. And so we're looking like more towards Monday as having bills in the committee room.
The only exceptions are the nursing and veterinarian Caucus Act bills are on the House side. And so that is the exception to the practice act of the health and allied health.
Do you have a feeling on where the nursing and vets bills are as to how they're proceeding through the process?
I'm sorry, I can't give you that. I don't have the information or anything.
How about Paul on the what do you see now with the workload before Senate passed as to when these various practice act changes could possibly be out? Am I talking about the ones that are coming down as well as the ones that are currently before?
Okay, I know Senator Hackney wants to take those up as soon as we get them. So next week would probably be more than likely the time when we would start considering them.
Do you have a backlog of any practice actions that have not been heard or is in?
Well, they all haven't been heard. Well, the physical therapist, we've heard that one, the chiropractors. Yeah. Still, those changes that we made up have been incorporated into the bill, so those will have to be treated again when they come in committee form. So,
right.
So they'll all be quite a bit of work, but those will have to be dealt with in hearing.
All right. Now, one of the things that we're going to be dealing with, of course, is what happens when those bills get through the Senate side. As to the, you know, the next step, and I don't know if that's something, Hugh, that we need to talk about or not at this time.
Well, I think it's fair to
you. Mm-hmm? Pardon?
Yeah, I think it'd be fair to you.
In other words, when the various practice act changes are completed and passed the Senate, then the normal procedure, of course, is to go to the House side and be assigned to committees. And we run into some severe time crunches on that. Does anyone have any comments as to how, whether we go through just the normal procedure or whether possibly those should come to free conference for action?
Well, the question in accord with the approach on Practice Act revisions that would be emerging from the Senate side at that time, that would be in a position to have the conference committees actually on House 702 meet and consider the appropriate extensions regarding those licensing areas upon which the Senate has taken action. And I suppose the same thing would apply to the bills that are being developed that are in the House. And of course that, you know, that's sort of a decision point. If people have some wild objections to the legislation in the form that it comes from, say, the House or the Senate, that they might not think that the Practice Act changes in the case of some boards are sufficient, just that is expressed in the bills, are sufficient justification for signing a bill report recommending the appropriate extension. But I, you know, so far proceeding on the basis that they will be. And so that's generally the approach, is to allow the committee system to do the work on the legislation, reserve and sort of a review at the level of the conference, and the decisions on how to untangle the sunset schedule, at least in the future, on these particular boards, set up the extensions in such a way that the legislature is not going to be necessarily deluged with unnecessary work, maybe 4 years from now.
I'd
like to know, at this stage of the game, do we have any clear perception of what major recommendations somebody got behind us?
Well, you are right. Under on attachment A,
I'm familiar with this.
All right, this particular list now is being drafted and will come to us for hearing in Senate 10. So we'll have an opportunity to make comments on it. Because
this I'm familiar with. It's just there's not, you know, it tells what it does, but it doesn't say how.
Right.
And that's.
So that will come up, plus the individual Practice Act changes, some of which we've heard, and two of which are on the other side, the Nursing Practice Act and the VET, and Hugh will check that out. And so what we're talking about is coming through one side, coming to the free conference committee, we'll have another checkpoint and make a decision at that time as to whether they would go normal process to the other side for more hearing or be considered by the free conference committee. Are you comfortable with that generally? Does that seem like a reasonable approach?
Let me elaborate a little bit on that. What my hope was is that, for example, the veterinarians. Okay, the House adopts legislation, adopts a bill on that subject, and at that point, if the conferees thought that the legislation did reasonably address the issue areas, say it within that particular review, take action on determining what the extension of that board should be based on the legislation as it came from the first house, presuming that the houses are going to have to work out some differences, maybe on some of the bills, but if the major issue areas are addressed and addressed fairly responsibly, then the committee could make a decision on the extension at that time, make a report on each house. Houses could vote on, of course, that decision's up, you know, to some extent to the members on both sides. But it would allow the work to go ahead in the committee system. And would do all the full hearings that are required in the committee process. And if some other approach needs to be taken or if agreement can't be reached on extension at that point, we might have to wait a little longer to do it. But that's generally what I was.
So you would be looking at it going through both the full committee system on both, but possibly just isolating out then the extension at that time, so we don't get that up to the based on the work that's been done.
Right. You know, if it appears that the important revisions are going to be made in the practice acts, and like if the House is in possession of the Senate bill or the Senate is in possession of the House bill, that's a decision point where we could, if the committee wants to make a decision on providing the extension.
Let me clear this out of my mind and to excuse the chair if I might. We are then going to take each group independently. We're not going to take them all in one mass and try to have one big monster. And in both houses, they will, I assume, be assigned only one committee if they do go through the committee process. Is that correct?
That's been the normal process on the sunset.
Well, do you see any indication that there'd be a change in that? Because, you know, guys, it's a time frame now.
We're
getting into crunch here. I hate to do something.
Mm-hmm. Margo or Paul, do you have a comment?
It might be possible for the pre-conference to ask Senator Caffey whether he'd be interested in holding joint hearings on the practice acts when they're available, so that the House Committee of the Borough would be able to take testimony at the same time. That would save time for the conference and for board members who might want to.
I think that would make it a lot easier on those people who have a major interest in these bills. You know, they've been testifying now for 2 years, and I think there's some good that's come from that. But we know we do a good thing.
Well, I like very much Hugh's suggestion. If we can resolve that issue of the extension, I think that's a wise approach. Is that generally acceptable then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, recognizing the decision to be made on, you know,
on an individual board by board.
And if we can do that, then they will go to the floor. Start chopping it up.
So we don't end up having to wait till the very end, till every practice act that might run into some problems. That certainly has some merit that we could handle our role. On then to the next issue, item two, the complaint processing. That's been something that we have had a lot of problems, I think, from every single board. You'll notice there's attachment B, a memo from Margo Waring to Ann Drake and Anne is here today, and Susan Burke, the assistant AG. I think almost every board came in and there were problems with the Department of Law processing cases. There was a problem, a breakdown of communication between the occupational licensing of the board and back again to the Department of Law. So, and there was some suggestive wording that had been used in other states that formalized various processes, but some staff work was done. What they really found out that it's been a question, I think, more of communication and developing a process between the boards, between occupational licensing and the Department of Law. And it seems like there's an agreement of a way that can work out. Margo, do you have some general comments you'd like to make?
I spoke with Susan Burke and received from her recommendations about a good process for dealing with complaints that would need legal considerations and would be fair to complainants and so forth and so on, and conveyed the approach to Mrs. Griggs, the director of the Division of Occupational Licensing, with whom I then spoke about that. They had begun the process of drafting a procedures manual that I was told substantially represented that kind of a system, but there had been delays in doing that. And in order to facilitate development of a procedure manual which would assure that complaints were processed in a timely, efficient, and legal form, Ms. Burke and Mrs. Graves and I will be meeting on April 1st with draft copies of that procedures manual and the forms that go with it and so forth and so on, and review it and see that it does indeed answer the complaints that people had about complaint processing.
I think this came out in every board. I don't know if it's been your experience of a breakdown and things, the board not knowing what final action was and not being able to get into a process where they could make comment as to whether it was a legitimate claim and so on. And will there be something that can be brought to the free conference for their review on that? Because it's administrative, and yet if it can solve the other without law, that perhaps has some.
It's our intention to have the revised draft of that procedures manual available for conference committee members.
Are there questions?
Well, the problem, there isn't enough people to process the complaints. They're a couple of years, 2, 3, 4 years behind, and I can't see where it's going to improve with that amount of people trying to process it. They say it'll improve, but
could you make any comment to that?
Griggs, who is here, tells me that the backlog is being handled. They were able to hire additional staff. Is that not correct?
We have an additional investigator now,
and so the backlog is being dealt with. And once that's done, I think the important part is to have a system in place which doesn't create additional backlog.
Could we have a report, let's make a report of occupational licensing along with this method of what the status of complaints are and what they feel their ability is to address both the backlog and the continuing complaints that they come with. Then we'd take a look at. Would that be helpful?
Oh, sure, anything.
Okay.
Would be helpful.
Good. So that I agree. That I think there wasn't a board that came before us that didn't have a problem. Anything more on that, Dave?
I'd like to ask a question of Mrs. Graves, or of the committee too. But I know we've talked with her, I'm sure all of us have, and I know that she's gone into straighten up an awful mess because it's been, you know, I think the procedure under which this has been followed or not done or not done, mostly not done, is mostly where the bogging down has come in, and anything that we do, if we can streamline it so that it does cut out a lot of extemporaneous work, I think will help as long as we don't cut off people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be interested in knowing as that proceeds how it goes.
Fine. Are we ready then to go on to three regarding possibly making a decision as to the revision of the sunset process? There's a memo of 3-8 again from Margot Waring to Representative Malone and myself. I think the major concerns, and we're not here with a specific recommendation, but wanted to bring you together. I don't know how it's been in the House, but in the Senate, it seems like there's been an inordinate amount of time spent on sunsets, and in some cases to the detriment of being able to take a look at other legislation. And it doesn't seem like that process is going to be much easier in the future. So we did just took a look at some possible ways of modification, and I don't know if you had an opportunity to read the memo, but really at this point we're not we don't need to come to a final decision, but it would be very helpful if there's a direction, if you feel it's a problem and could give some guidance as to how you would like to see us perhaps modify sunset. I think that would be very helpful. Margot had quite a discussion with Gerald Wilkerson and others in developing it. Could you briefly point out the alternatives, Margot, that might be available to us?
They basically, the alternatives were developed within the context of the instructions, which were to retain the sunset process, focus on needed repairs, and to decrease the burden experienced by standing committees. Given those criteria, several alternatives seemed possible which met that set of criteria. The first one is one that's favored by Mr. Wilkerson, and in subsequent discussion among staff and Mr. Wilkerson, that's been slightly modified. His basic approach is to say that the legislature should annually target boards and commissions for sunset, and that would be a way of focusing and using citizen complaints and so forth to achieve needed reviews. He later added that it would be possible, for instance, to retain the current schedule, for instance, for the AS 44 boards, transportation, public utilities, and so forth, and use the targeting process for the 08 boards, so that the ones that impact millions of people most directly would be an ongoing review no matter what, and the practice boards do have a variety of different problems and constituencies could be annually up for consideration. The second alternative is that you just reduce the numbers of boards and commissions
that come before the legislature, in other words, to amend that statute so that not every board comes up on the schedule that it currently has, so that some boards that the legislature felt were presented very few difficulties might come up instead of every 4 years, every 8 years, or every 7 years, or you do some structural change to the schedule. When I focused in on the idea of less work, gave primary emphasis to that, there were several things that suggested themselves. One was that there would be less work and less difficulty, as Senator Farron Kempner said, for board members themselves if joint hearings were held. Not that deliberations would be joint, but that the presentation of testimony on all boards would be a joint process. That could also be combined with the previous suggestion of extending out the schedule. Similarly, some boards could be eliminated from Sunset entirely. And the ones that had been suggested by Mr. Wilkerson had been administrative agency programs, which are reviewed on their own schedule anyway through legislative budget and audit. Either one of those could also be combined with the idea of the staggered extension, the joint hearings, and so forth and so on, which would considerably streamline the process. The fourth alternative would be to establish a standing committee with Sunset responsibility. In other words, that instead of hearings being held by, for example, Senate heads, there would be on each side, a standing committee that dealt with nothing but arranging the hearings and arranging everything else for Sunset reviews. That had been a suggestion and recommendation that was approved by Representative Brown in his interim report on the House Commerce Committee Sunset Project. Those are the alternatives that I could see within the criteria. I think if we change the criteria, there might be other alternatives possible.
Okay, any comments?
You know, it's a little bit difficult for someone coming in that was not there when all the emotion was generated that led to the passage of the Sunset Law. And I guess my anger has been that I've seen tremendous amounts of time put on this with relatively little impact, although I think we'll get quite a few practice act changes that perhaps were overdue and address some basic problems. So I guess I leave it to some of you that were here. Perhaps it's time to evaluate it a bit and see where we think Sunset is. Joe, you ought to have some pretty strong feelings.
Yeah, well, I kind of expected to some extent this type of occurrence to come down the first time through on a lot of these boards. Because you know, many of the practice acts are so out of date that I kind of anticipated this type of thing happening. So I'm not that disturbed by the amount of time that's going into it this first time around. If the second time around we run into the same problems with these boards or the various agencies, then I'd be concerned about the process that I sort of anticipated this. Unfortunately, I was not in any of the committees that had to deal with it.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's done an awful lot of good, even though it's been very time-consuming on the part of the board members and lay personnel as well as part of the legislature. I think there's been an awful lot of good come from this subject, and I think the boards themselves himself to be the first one to say so, because I think they were asking for direction, as well as other people asking for help, and I can see this not being the problem we've had in the past, because I think they finally gotten the attention that was needed and the help that they've been asking for, and if we don't neglect them and don't give them the tools they need to work with, I think it's going to work a lot more smoothly, and we won't have all the required basis to go through. So that's, I think, something to bear in mind as we discuss changes.
On the item two on the complaint processing, I was looking at the March 8th memo, Margo, and I may have looked at the wrong memo, that's why it's finding on.
The complaint processing memo is attached
to the okay. AG's office agreed to this, to
yes,
do this?
Yes, I've spoken with Susan Burke, and she's more than willing and happy to cooperate.
I didn't get over to talk to Susan yet, and I want to do that because I think that that if we could get get some help in that area and get ongoing, you might say, assistance from the Department of Law. I think Susan can provide the kind of help we need to make it a whole lot easier on everybody, on the boards, on the division, and on the people who get into the complaint process, whether the complainant or the person who is the subject of the complaint. I think that's one of the important things that's come out of the whole sunset review is that a lot of the procedures and a lot of the laws haven't been really adequate to an expeditious handling of complaints with due regard to the consumers of the public and the persons involved in complaining as a practitioner.
Okay, on three, the possible revision of the sunset process. Again, I've had some major concerns with the amount of time, and I can see some structural changes coming that should make the next process somewhat easier. You do have the benefit of having, once a report, then you have something to measure. As far as the staff effort and the reports of made to the individual committee. I think I would, however, like to see some exploration of limiting the process a bit. But I'm not, obviously. for the conference for some discussion and decision. I'm wondering, we do have a process where the administrative agencies are subject to a review. They're on a schedule of every 3 years, and theoretically they're to cover all agencies, and legislative budget and audit has the ability to bring the matter to the attention of the legislature. Since during this last year, we instituted the process whereby the legislative budget audit with Mr. Wilkerson go back and review the agencies to see if in fact they're living up to problems that were raised during the audit. One of the problems has been that if you don't take a look at it again for 3 years, why you've come back with new players and the same problems, and I think that's going to be helpful.
Well, I think one of the problems has been that like it's not as bad, you know, you can't lay it all on the board.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are three fields of responsibility, and those three fields are or making four, because we can't share the responsibility either, but OL and the board and the budget audit themselves. Because some of the budget audit reports, as far as I'm concerned, kind of raise my hair a little bit.
You. Madam Chair, thank you. Well, I what I'd kind of like to do is have a some provision within the sunset process whereby agencies or boards are selected for review based on where the problems are. Now, I think like a lot of the things that came out of the initial review on the boards and commissions under in the Department of Commerce, occupational licensing boards. A lot of the different things that were discovered there probably could have been discovered by a review of one or two of the boards. And each one had specific problems, but most of the things were, I guess you might say, sort of standard long-term neglect by the legislature. And so I'd like to have some sort of provision in the process that the boards or program agencies, and I don't think they should be eliminated from Sunset, are selected for Sunset on the basis of where legislators think the problems are. That could be based on some sort of a screening process, maybe complaints in the Ombudsman's office or something like that, that maybe they could look down the list or personal information, and have the list made up basically that way by the Legislative Budget Audit Committee, and then that legislation submitted to the legislature, and it's considered, and they might want to shorten the list or extend the list, but it wouldn't not make the process necessarily automatic.
Well, there is, of course, in, you need to check that out a little further. Right now, there is a list prepared, and the Legislative Budget and Audit does select from that list. And, you know, there that flexibility is there right now, but there are no standards or criteria set, to my knowledge. Is that what you're talking about, too? They have that flexibility, but on the basis of some kind of standard?
Well, that would be the idea. The idea would be to try to come up with some sort of standards for determining, I guess what you call priorities here. These are things you want to look at first and put something on the list.
Does that seem to have any merit? I mean, everything he says has merit. Understand me.
Mm-hmm.
Are
you talking about that to the complete exclusion of any regular review process?
No, I'm not talking about the complete exclusion of it. But I think that, you know, basically, I guess I don't think you should be have to bother scratching where there's no itch. I mean, that's my reaction to a lot of the Sunset work. And So I think that you ought to find some way of making decisions as to what are the most important things, and sort of go down a list like that. And it seems to me it would not make a lot of sense to say, well, this agency over here doesn't come up on the sunset list. You're not going to take it up the sunset list for 6 years. We're going to take these other ones up, which nobody has any gripes on. They got some on the other one. That's sort of.
Exactly. But you know, you
can
play a more major role than that.
But
I see what you're getting at.
Yeah,
right.
I think it would require they establish some sort of standards and determine what the priorities are. It would mean that the regular or automatic review would take place at a lot slower rate than sort of.
Yeah, I think you had a comment, Major.
You know, on this sunset review, you know, we've been working on that now for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Comments, and it takes up just about the whole committee's time. And with everything else we do, I should think that most of these people are, you know, mostly around Anchorage and Fairbanks. If we had somebody appointed as like an interim committee, what could go over wouldn't take many people, and find out the complaints and bring them in. I think that's what you were talking about. And work on the ones we have complaints on, the ones that look like they're doing real good. Like we had the pharmacists and the board of nursing. They seem like they had a good program. I think they got a little benefit if we come here, but you know, to have all them people coming in take days and days to testify, we could have the people what have problems coming.
Joe?
My only concern is that take something like the Board of Collection Agencies or whatever that was just terminated, at least the House took action to terminate it. And that's probably a board that nobody's complained about or nobody's even known about.
Mm-hmm.
And if there wasn't some sort of regular review process that required that board to come up at some point, it just wouldn't have been terminated simply because nobody's aware of it, there were no complaints about it.
But that could be part of the criteria, though,
that
there would be an analysis done by budget and audit for those boards that, even though they're quiet, they need to be sunset.
And another standard I think would need to be, some sort of need, an evaluation of what the need is for changes in the Practice Act, because, you pointed out there's been sort of legislative neglect in terms of the number of these boards, and I think if we went to some sort of a system where it wasn't mandatory for these boards to come up periodically, that it would just be continued neglect. But, as you said, because there's not a niche.
Of course, in a case like that, I suppose you could build in a mechanism of enlisting the boards to get into this by some kind of a report to budget and audit as to problems they perceive. There might be a way that you could get some of that feedback coming in.
Or I suppose you could require occupational licensing to come in with maybe an annual bill suggesting changes in any Practice Act that they feel need to be made, so that there'd perhaps be one bill each year, or one bill every other year, or whatever. Encompassing the changes in all the Practice Acts that, from the point of view of the administration anyway, are
mm-hmm.
necessary. There needs to be some sort of regular process by which legislature is going to review these acts.
I hate to step on friends' toes, but as far as I'm concerned, in most of the hearings that have come before our committee, it seemed to me like there was as many problems in OL as anywhere else, maybe more. And I'd hate to have OL doing the, being the one that determines which board is the problem. I know, no reflection on present management, because that seems to change a lot of things, but, and the one before that, but I've called OL and asked who the members of the board on four different occasions while we were there Sunday. And the person who answered the phone said they didn't know. Now, if OL doesn't know who the board members are or what's happening with the board, how can we have them doing the reporting job?
All I'm saying is that there needs to be some system to force us to deal with a bill affecting the Practice Act, whether it's, if we're getting away from mandating through the sunset law that a particular board comes up each every 5 years or whatever, we should have some system that's going to force us to deal with changes in the Practice Act. And
yeah.
If that, you know.
I think we need to know whether there's perceived to be a problem enough to get into investigating new ways. We have to decide that, Sunset, I think makes the statement that Sunset is good, but Sunset is either bogging us down, getting us into areas that perhaps that needs a better mechanism, so we're really taking time on the boards that are causing problems. And if we don't, we're just, all we're going to do is just shift the system around. I think we have to kind of agree on that basic need.
Well, I'm just kind of concerned that because of the first time through, we've been forced to deal with all these problems that have been brought around by years of neglect, that we're going to make a judgment on Sunset just based on the first run through, which brought up all these problems, and which necessarily slowed down the whole process.
I'm shell shocked because I'm not only here, I've been on health, and I've been on commerce, and I'm angry because we haven't addressed loans and a number of other things. And so I have to realize I may be overreacting because I see it bogging us down.
I vote with those that think it are getting bogged.
I'm a boggy. Are you a boggor?
Of course, the committee work, I suppose that once you go through it much more expeditiously the second time around. That's happened in the Commerce Committee, even though they don't exactly seem to be, 1, 2, 3 hearings, they are compared to last. But they don't seem to be, expeditious. The hearings may not seem to the casual observer to be expeditiously handled. They are, in comparison to what we were able to do last year when we just didn't know what we were doing. We can do that. I don't know what happens when 4 years from now here comes one of them boards again and you got a new Commerce Committee and what do they do? Maybe they're onto it because they're doing it every year. I don't know.
I'm not talking about the personnel involved in the committees. What I'm saying is that the Practice Act is going to be in much better shape 4 years from now. The problems that have been brought out will have, the administration will have an opportunity and the legislature will have had an opportunity to try to solve those problems. And what I'm saying is that a lot of those problems and need for changes aren't going to exist 4 or 5 years from now. So that the hearings themselves, simply because there are fewer problems, are going to go much more expeditious.
Margo?
One other item that might be kind of a source of more useful information to the committee is that earlier in the week, Max Boyd, Representative Miller's staff, had called together all of the staff and people from
Well, is it worth it to put some staff time in to attempt to refine the process? I think that's the key question.
Well, I'm not sure. Wilkerson himself put down anything in writing on this?
Here?
Yeah, well,
I don't have any written communication from him in which he suggests his options.
No. He just reported on the conversation in the meeting she had with him.
Okay. That's what, that was what I understood. Maybe our next meeting, if Gerald Wilkerson's available, I'd like to invite both him and Jim Duncan to come to it.
To discuss this in just more detail, all right?
Especially if we have more guidelines as to what we think we should be doing.
All right, why don't we then have staff communicate with Mr. Wilkerson and Jim, kind of bring them up to date on the discussion, make available, you know, this information. Then at the next meeting, just have them come. In other words, we won't put a lot of staff effort, but we'll have them thinking about the process, and we'll keep in touch with whatever Representative Miller's group is doing, and then we'll come back again and look at it. Sound fair?
I'd like to know one thing, Chairman, before we do this. Has Mr. Wilkerson been fed copies of work that's been done and recommendations been done by the various boards or groups of boards as he makes these considerations? I think they've done a lot of work that certainly needs to be considered.
What do you mean the actual practice act changes that have been put in?
Well, that have been suggested. A lot of boards and groups of boards have themselves, you know, come to the committees or come to us with copies of work that they've done since that process has started. And some of them that work within that system themselves have come up with what I think are some darn good ideas. And I just hope that that material is not wasted, but it's fed to Wilkerson and us, and everybody else has copies of it, so that we all know what the boards themselves, I think, would be helpful as we're considering them.
Jana?
I just wanted to raise the possibility before the meeting that I would really like to discuss just one little part on section number one.
Well, we'll do that. Margo?
Mr. DuBois suggested that if we're inviting Mr. Wilkerson, that we might consider inviting Dave Walker of Legal Services, that he is the person who's been handling some of that legal work, and who has a number of suggestions about just clarification on the Sunset Act.
Any problem with that?
No problem. If Mr. Walker has specific recommendations to help things out, then that's not meant to be a reflection of Mr. Walker's very fine job for the committee. I just don't want it to run out too much time. What I was thinking about, reason for inviting both Mr. Duncan and Mr. Wilkerson, is that in some of these areas that the legislative audit staff has been charged with in Sunset, okay, they don't have people that have a real deep working
right.
knowledge of the area. And so if this process is going to continue, I also want to get recommendations there as to maybe, you know, what Wilkerson thinks might be appropriate in terms of the types of staff people that have doing this work.
Where can we be effective in some sense?
And have Jim Duncan here so that he realizes that, you know, it may not realizes, but is able to take these things into account in the portion of the budget that deals with that, with the audit staff function, the legislature function, or something.
We'll get to Janet's point, not run out on her, but perhaps we don't need discussion unless you have major problem with the attachment D. Went ahead and asked for a bill to be drafted, and I can certainly bring it back to you, that looks into how there might be a pre-screening of occupations that come in for being set up as a with a regulatory body. In other words, perhaps it's appropriate that we not only consider getting rid of boards that have outlived their usefulness, but that we have a measurement standard for people that come in that want to be regulated. And so we thought that would be a helpful piece of legislation for us to look at, and we could bring that back to the next committee. Does that seem like kind of a good idea? Because it always seems so easy when you've got a problem, create another board or something. And so that addresses that problem. Any comments, Hugh?
I'm not sure. I have a comment. I think it is a good idea to do that, and then possibly avoid setting up things like a collection agency board in the first place.
Or hairdresser.
I wouldn't say that about hairdressers.
Barbers.
No.
Jana, you had a comment on item one.
I do. I'm sitting here listening to everyone's concerns about not letting the process get to bomb there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a real concern that my own self is here is getting the bomb there. And I would like to ask the committee to reconsider the possibility of incorporating the practice actions that come out of the Senate hearing process into the conference process for a couple of reasons. Number one, the changes that are being made in the Practice Act on this side are changes that were recommended on the House side. And there are also changes that all of the boards have accepted and all of the professions have accepted. The only other changes that are involved in most of these, there are a couple of them that don't apply here, are changes that the boards themselves have recommended that are not controversial and are not to limited practice act changes. And it seems to me that if there was no controversy on this side, that there is a real possibility if they go over to the other side that they're going to sit there, or maybe not sit there, but get so involved in the hearing process that no changes are going to be made at all, and we're only going to be dealing with continuums. And this would be a source of real major frustration, I think, to every board and profession involved in the sunset process. Because we look to this as a source of a solution to a lot of the problems that we have. And these things are not really big deal changes in the practice act, but they are important and they are commonly applied to all of the boards. And so I would really like to ask that you reconsider that possibility of incorporating those at that time.
Hugh.
Yeah, Madam Chairman, I think that one thing that we do want to do is when one house or the other has worked up their legislation is to take a look and see what problems might exist in just simple scheduling problems in the second house. I think that's a reasonable thing to do. I think, I might be all wet, but I think probably as long as we got one bill still left in conference, if it came down to it, we can incorporate certain changes and in Title 8 in that bill to include any bills we've got bogged down. I think it's a number of things that we could do to avoid the situation that I interpret that you're addressing, which is that these things are going to be lost in shuffle someplace. I don't think they are going to be, but we can certainly take that into account.
All the boards are going to be submitting major practice after revisions next year. I agree with them, this has been 2 years that we've all been down to the test. And that's a long time. You know, the boards have lots of other things to do. And I hear what you're saying about as long as the bill is in the conference, those things can be incorporated into the bill.
Well, Jan, I think you've made your point, and that's got to be a consideration. And there's a lot of concern, and the time is getting short, and there's tremendous pressure on Senator Hackney and his staff to get their thing going. It's not been an easy process. Paul?
I just want clarification on a point we discussed earlier. You know, the nursing board and the veterinarians board, they have back-to-back revision bills in the House side. Now, how did you say that you're going to deal with those? Did you say you're going to pick those up and deal with
you.
The continuation?
Well,
do we need the proposed changes that we're including in the practice act division on the Senate side? Do we need to make up a bill for each of those professions and include those in the package that we're sending over? Or do you see what I mean?
Well, are you doing that now? It's the first question.
No, we're not.
Okay.
We haven't touched the nursing board or the veterinary board because they have special provision bills in the House side. That I thought that there was going to be some track in getting those moved.
Right. We got to get those moved. I would just sort of as a general approach on the conference committee, in order to allow the regular committee process to work. Also is part of a way of division of labor that let the standing committees work on the Practice Act changes. It's sort of a general idea like this, that suppose the Senate passes a bill on one of the boards or whatever they do, or the House does in the case of the nursing board, whatever. We take a look at it and make a decision then as to whether okay, it looks like this is all in shape to go, and we could provide for the extension, say, that board at that time. Now, if there is going to be a scheduling problem in the second house, then you probably should look at the question that Jenna brought up. But no, I would anticipate that since the House already begun work on that, those issues, that you know, you wouldn't have to do it unless you thought it was a good idea.
Okay.
So you'd get the bill when it came over.
Any other questions on this? Margo?
Just again, you know, picking up on Janice's point and if jointness could be arranged, I think it might solve some of those problems that the other house would be able to act faster, having heard the testimony. Board members would only have to come to Juneau once to testify.
Very frankly, the joint, I think, is a desirable thing, but it's been had mixed reviews, I think, as well as, you know, membership and following through and difficulties in scheduling. You just don't always get people in. It sounds a lot better than the reality of it.
If you could ever get a schedule set up where the standing committees in each house of the same jurisdiction met at the same time,
yeah,
we might make it work someday.
Right. But it's really tough. Okay, anything else for today? That kind of brings us up and
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, with I don't know how those feel, but we may have to use a bunch of Saturdays and whatever to get these things if they're joined.
Has to be.
If it has to be, or Sundays or whatever. I think time is of an essence now. And frankly, I know every one of you is a minority. The minority, I'm in less of a crunch on having to track bills and attend too many meetings, et cetera. But I know we're just going to have a devil of a time schedule. I'm not fixing to come to 7 o'clock in the morning, but I'll come to any nights or Saturdays.
Surprised how fast bills can move when signing a diet approach.
That's
yeah,
true.
That's what I'm afraid of, though. I don't want something to move that's not right.
Yeah.
Well, I think on these things that, you know, that's one of the things you need to do is take a look at the bills. You should take a look and see if you think that they're in good shape. And if they aren't, you've got sort of a not a totally independent review process.
But we've got
at
a
least people that are pretty much familiar
yeah.
with the issues, they can tell that they're addressed. Whether the bill is way far out or pretty close to the mark.
Okay, if there's nothing else, we'll get back and probably a couple of weeks to take a status report. Is that too long?
I think that it's a minimum amount of time that you could expect to see the
very much
legislation
so.
You know, get through the committee.
Yeah. We'll do it just as soon as we can and certainly keep the pressure on. We'll have part of that on Senate half, as you know. Okay?
Yes.
Fine. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.